live from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, educator, author, and founder of Geoversity, Nathan Gray.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, singer, songwriter, and keyboardist, Bob Malone. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You all don't know this, but before the show starts in the backstage, Mark is counting down and says, life changes in 5, 4, 3, 2, and then the show starts. And how fitting that is, I was just thinking, because it connects to what I was thinking today after speaking with our guest and our performance guest, and after having such an inspiring show with our guest last week, Kathy Eldon. Some of you may have heard. If not, you want to hear and be inspired as well. And so many people lately have used the word inspiring when it relates to the Life Changes show, which I think is exciting because Life Changes, as I've heard over the years, is evolving within our culture. And it seems that more times than not, when someone says, well, life changes, it's a negative thing, or it's after a negative thing has happened. And at best, it's a neutral thing, like life changes. But rarely, more and more a little bit, but rarely has it been used in the past, I think, or I've seen as a positive thing. And so here, Mark is saying life changes in 5, 4, and it's a positive thing because we're getting ready to start the show and we're all excited about it. And we have inspiring guests. I think almost every week, definitely we're learning and it's positive, or we're learning how to make something positive possible, or we're enjoying music with our performance guests. So today I was just taken by our guests sharing so many words of wisdom, and you'll hear them in a moment. And then our performance guest also, who is truly passionate about what they do and knows that he is here to do this. And it was overwhelmingly wonderful. On top of which, our guest is in Panama, and so coordinating the time and this and that and with everything that he's doing, our performance guest just got back from 6 weeks of touring, which especially nowadays with things just starting up and all of that, it's a lot of coordinating and a lot of things, getting people to do things that people haven't been used to. And so, my gosh, you'll hear it, you'll feel it, and I trust you'll be inspired when we get to talk with our guest, Nathan Gray, and then later on with our performance guest, Bob Malone, and for that matter, our Ask Dorothy segment as well with Dorothy Lee Donahue. Mark, I'm inspired, and thank you for starting the show that way. I'm online with our producer and co-host, Mark Legere.
I am glad you pointed that out, and yeah, I've started doing that especially because we don't celebrate the positive changes enough. And there's so much talk about change, and change is hard, and change is this, and oh, there's another change. But yet everybody has experienced the good side of change in one way or another. And I think the more that we can focus on that, and of course that being the intent of our show and the great guests and performance guests that we have and the insights that we share and the authenticity that we get to experience.
And I'm so glad
thank you
said
for
that.
Highlighting that.
I'm glad you said that too, because so many of our guests have looked at, like, there are so many things that we can be down about, as I see it right now in the world. And so many of our guests, including ours today, looks at something like that and has said, you know, we can make life changes. We can change this, and have rolled up their sleeves and done it and inspired us to do it in some form or fashion.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, you were going to mention, like, for example, how you met our guest.
Oh, well, I was going to bring that up a little later in the show, but I'm glad that you brought it up. We had the great benefit of connecting at a wonderful event. Actually, our dear friend Charles Holmes was involved, and Charles invited me to share in the GeoVersity event that was being held at the Muse Global School, the Muse Academy, which is a fantastic educational school and outside of Calabasas, California. I think it was originally started by James Cameron, and they're doing just breakthrough sustainability education and have amazing solar technology and doing some really neat things. And this collaboration that they have with GeoVersity is extraordinary. So it was really wonderful to come into Nathan's presence and learn a bit of what they're doing hands-on at their remote location up here.
Mm. And do we have Myrna James also to thank? I mean, it feels like this growing family of people.
Myrna was present when Charles introduced Nathan, and Myrna introduced and actually continued to encourage us to have Nathan on. And so part of the reason we've been able to corral Nathan, given his travels and his remote location and all the stuff he's doing, is because of Myrna's persistence. So thank you, Myrna, as well.
Yes, and we've had Myrna on the show as well, so make sure to check out that episode. So speaking of learning, we are going to be learning from an educator, an author, and one of the founders of Oxfam America, Earth Train Foundation, the Mamoni Valley Preserve, Fundación GeoVersity, and GeoVersity. Welcome to the show, Nathan Gray. How great to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for including me. Well, pretty high voltaggio introduction there.
Nice. Well, you, of course you would do that with my name. Your words, you use words that people don't use. You understand words that people don't understand as much, and I hope you'll help us understand them more. And you also are, I don't know if you're inventing words, but spell check was having a field day with me, telling me all the words that you were talking, that I was writing from our notes. They're saying those don't exist, or they're misspelled, and they're not. And more and more of us should know what they are. So let's start out with a big word.
Felipe, you just outed me as a hopeless nerd.
No, not at all. On the contrary.
That's the story of my boyhood, you know. Well,
seriously? Wait. Seriously?
Let me stay with the word. You guys were doing a riff on life change.
Yes.
I love the show name. And, you know, it was, I think, 3 years ago, we got word of how a team had been contracted by James Cameron to create the video game to go with the Avatar sequels and to evolve with those and with the mandate that the game better well be education about planet Earth. You know, okay, Pandora, fine, but this has to be truly educational about life and cultures of our precious blue marble in space. And so they were intimidated by the mandate and, well, we better go to Ecuador and Colombia. And I heard about it, convinced them to just come and drop by Panama. And it turned out they ripped up their other plane tickets, spent 2 weeks with us, and had what they called, and it was, you know, the subject of a book they produced and a couple of films, Life Changer. By whimsy, we were already in discussions with Muse Global Schools, which is a creation of Susie Amos Cameron and James Cameron. But there we go. We get caught up in the game for a life-changing experience. So there you have it.
Yes, I saw that in the literature. I liked it. And I was hoping we'd get to talk a little bit more about it. Biocultural. What is biocultural? And for goodness sakes, and thank you when people find out, biocultural leaders. So tell us more.
Well, I think you know, you have to ask what's going on this crazy planet today. And we spend a lot of times either, you know, puzzling over symptoms or crying over them, right? And we got a whole tipping point cluster of symptoms to look at. From our point of view, what we're looking at is, how do we see the world? How do we see the problems? And that really is the problem, how we see. If you consider what's been going on over the last, what, 5 millennia, we've been operating, we arrogant humans, as if we are apart from nature, above it, controlling it, whatever. And at our peril. I mean, that mindset, that worldview is what's really at the heart of so much of the malaise of humankind on planet Earth.
So we have, in a sense, been treating the planet and nature as if we're a part of it. And I mean, aside from it, in we are apart from it, not a part of it.
Yeah. And look at the symptoms. You know, you throw your garbage away. Well, where's a way? Show me a place called a way. There isn't. Or when you use the phrase human nature, you have to pause and realize, wait a minute, we are, by our very nature, nature. And we act as if we're somehow apart. We have a model of thinking and consciousness that's computational, when it's in fact something of a completely more magical and powerful sort, and so forth. We're crazy with the wrong set of glasses. And that's at the heart of what we mean by biocultural leader and biocultural leadership. That's our commitment to young emerging leaders, that they grow a different set of values and really get back to our original worldview, our original view of our place in life, our oneness with life.
You gave an interesting analogy about the dot-com craze and what's going on with our Earth and nature.
Yeah, well, I guess some of us are old enough to remember the craziness of the dot-com era, all the IPOs and the IPO wannabes and the red suspenders and all these companies popping up all over the place. And I've been looking around in the last couple of years, and I'm seeing what I call a dot climate proliferation. Everybody's whipping up either an organization or a greenwash campaign, or there's a flurry of activity, creativity. I welcome it. We're all excited about it. And you whip up a website and put a board together, and voila, you have another organization. For the last 30 years, we've been kind of just doing grassroots, youth by youth, youth calling youth to action campaigns. And then for the last 20 years, you know, feet in the mud, trying to build a campus in a tropical area to create a green buffer to the indigenous Kuna people, and struggling with reality. But it's kept us, I think, sober. And we're seeing things in a pretty grounded way. Kind of our time to share some of that, if you will, earthy wisdom that we're working hard to accumulate.
I like that feet in the mud. It reminds me of boots on the ground, yet it feels more aligned with what we're talking about, feet in the mud.
Well, that sucking sound is that boot that's still in the mud. We're in the rainy season, Filippo. I still have a truck I haven't gotten out from last week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so good luck with that. Well, here's another word that I enjoyed gleaning or grabbing out of our conversation today that I want to use, and I want to understand per your expression of the word. So We were talking about how we talk about pollution in the world, and you say that the greatest pollution, and I love this, well, you say it, is what? Bad leadership. That's what you said, but this is where I'm going. Yeah. And you said, and bad fellowship.
And that's hand in glove, right? How do you have bad leadership? Well, you have where we have democracy or an attempt thereof, either uninformed citizenry or crazy informed citizenry. And we've got to get to, you know, we've got to work on that. We've got to also grow some values that reflect, again, coming back to the original point, our oneness with nature. Mm. And that, until we have that kind of leadership and that kind of followership, we're doomed. We're just, you know, arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
you know what I really like? One of the things I really like about the word is because it brings the onus on us. Because we could say leadership is bad. What do we do? What do we do? But followership being bad, that's me. Yeah. That's on me.
You bet. And, you know, look at the educational system. We were talking about music.
Oh, yes.
Global schools.
Yes.
We love them. And candidly, I'm looking forward to the day we can hold a mirror up to the founders and say, you have started something that is so urgently needed. Please get that movie making out of your system because you started something that needs to go forward big time. Right now, we talk about the military-industrial complex. Well, hell, there is the educational-industrial complex that's sucking our brains out. We need to disrupt school as we know it, and we need to do it now.
You had some adjectives about school.
Well,
as it is now.
Some of them are, you know, off the record, but
well, we are live on air.
All right. Well, I'll just go for it. I think of them as generational concentration camp, especially high school. It should be banned, as with the high schools that we've created. The notion that's so anti-Socratic of schooling inside of four walls, when you've got biodiversity, when you've got Mother Nature's university, Mother Nature's school, you got to be crazy, especially here in Panama, where we have, you know, tremendous biodiversity. But anywhere on the planet, school needs to be in our lives and expressive of what matters, and not, you know, constrained exams and bricks and mortar.
You know what you're saying sounds revolutionary. Why? What happened to us?
Well, what's fun is that the moment you start getting involved in a conversation like this, you start feeling hope. We've had the pleasure of working with Jane Goodall a lot in Panama over the years. She's been with us four times, memorably 4 days, 5 days in the jungle with her Roots and Shoots leaders, roots leaders from all over the Americas. It's transformational. You're connected to this rich biodiversity. Our indigenous partners were gathered to talk about what matters in a context that is feeding us with the magic of nature, with that amazing gift that Mother Nature has to evolve. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could take a page from that and evolve our values, evolve our ways of living together, and it really to reconnect with the earliest ways.
So when we come back, we're going to get to talk to Nathan Gray a little more about everything we've talked about, hopefully, and geoversity, which is what we've talked about, and what does that mean, and how we can be biocultural leaders in our own home and in our own families and communities. But it starts with us, and it starts in our own lives. And if you want to learn more about how you can also support Nathan and the people that Mark was talking about, and these other organizations, go to geoversity.org. We have the link on the Life Changes show page for Nathan Gray, but it's geoversity.org, geoversity.org. So we'll be back with Nathan Gray a little later on. We're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then our performance guest, Bob Malone, all here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthht.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am host Filippo Voltaggio of the Life Changes Show at Home Edition at the moment, and our guest is educator, author, and one of the founders of Oxfam America, Earth Train Foundation, the Mamoni Valley Preserve, Fundación Geoversity, and Geoversity, Nathan Gray. Nathan, you just last night, Mark and I were talking about an understanding that I was having, speaking of words, some of the words that we use in our language, like self-made man, or phrases like I made it on my own, or I can do it by myself, and we encourage people to do that or celebrate people that supposedly did that. But first of all, I don't think the conversation yesterday was I don't think anybody really can do anything on their own. But now you bring in a whole other element, as even if supposedly they could, they need the earth, the planet, everything that we're about.
Yeah, well said. You know, people say, oh, Nathan's the founder. That's bull. There's no such thing as a founder. In fact, you know, our very beginnings, I was 100 teenagers getting organized and mounting national campaigns, international campaigns. And you have to look at how I got into this. They found me. That's the founding. And every day, right? Every day. So, yeah, you said it well.
Geoversity. What is that?
Well, we started out as Earth Train because we actually, just apropos my comment about the 100 teenagers who were asking the question, how can we reach, you know, millions of our peers with, don't wait for the adults to clean up this mess, take action, follow our example. And they wanted some ideas on how they might reach millions. And unfortunately, I was one of the few board members of their youth-led organization, along with Bobby Weir, the Grateful Dead, Ram Dass, beloved friend, Jerry Garcia. I was one of only a few adults, and I stupidly came up with the idea, well, if you want to be noticed, why don't you have your own train? Do whistle stops, just like Churchill and Roosevelt. And I don't know a damn thing about trains, but one of these kids stands up and says, let's do it. And boy, I got snookered into my own stupid idea. We did. Right? It was like, it was
and
all
we're
over.
Glad you did.
Well, we did it. It took a year and a half, raised $2.5 million with some corporate sponsorship. May I rot in hell for one of them is a beverage company, the name of which I won't utter. But hey, it worked. And we had our own steam locomotive. We did train journeys across continents, a powerful call to action. And you know, did that for 10 years, high visibility, and then decided, well, you know, we got something. This leadership empowerment thing is where we want to concentrate. And decided to create a campus where it would make a difference. And we picked a jungle.
So you're putting your money where your mouth is, as we would say. Like that's the new schools.
That's right. And you know, it's coming apropos my earlier comment. Why did we create the Menominee Valley Preserve? Well, we're real proud of the fact that over the years we struggled and the powerful support of wonderful people, we built it up to 13,000 acres and created this precious green cushion corridor of life, protecting biodiversity and indigenous nations. But really, what is that? It's just a tiny little island of salvation. Its real value, ultimately, and its real justification, is the degree to which it's a campus. It's the Sierra Madre of the, you know, the future revolutionaries. Or I think of it as where we train the pilots to run Spaceship Earth.
That's clever, and great. And it reminds me of something that you also said that I wanted to touch on before we move on to something else. You said the teacher we need to have in the classroom is,
well, mom. Mother Nature. Absolutely. And you know, you were talking about the magic of nature, the Fibonacci sequence, and all these great algorithms that in their magnificent simplicity create the complexity that is life. And that's our learning. If you want to learn math or geography, geometry, the geometry of Mother Nature is magnificent. How about biomimicry, which is enjoying an enormous cachet right now, learning from Mother Nature's hard-earned ingenuity over 3.8 million years, billion years of life. She's had, you know, an R&D lab that nobody can beat. And that's where we need to take some insights.
Thank you for that, actually. Biomimicry. See, now that's not a word we hear often enough, or I don't know if I've ever heard it. Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, we did discuss it, and it's a good time to shout out. I think if you're not friends with Annalise Smitsman, you should be, Nathan. I'm going to make sure that you two connect.
Wonderful. And Mark, I believe you met the dean of our University School for Biocultural Leadership, Dr. Tamsin Willie Barker. Her book, Teaming, is a bestseller. Interestingly, she's applying insights from the new discipline of biomimicry to human organization and business. And so clients like Cisco have been beating a path to her. Why? Because we have so much to learn about decentralized management, a team of teams, and we learn it from the ants and the bees. These insights that we get from the superorganisms are a reminder that we humans are a superorganism. We just happen to be one that isn't too super at organizing.
And they've known this at the military and the research level. The B-2 stealth bomber, if you've ever seen the photo, mimics the Peregrine Falcon. So it's
that's right.
There's a lot of ingenuity out there.
Good point. Well, Nathan Gray, you are an example of what one man can do. When somebody asks the question, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, Nathan Gray, you are one person as far as I know, and yet you are doing all of this and working with so many people. And interestingly enough, when I asked you what's a good place for people who might ask that question, what can I do, after hearing this show, you said go out in nature or be a part of nature.
Philip, I really deeply appreciate your picking up on that. This is a time to celebrate the fact that we have nothing to lose, right? I mean, you could say, oh God, the sky's falling, it looks awful and everything, but it really frees us to be bold. It frees us to go for it and not screw around with, I'll get to that later, or I'll contribute after I've made my million. And one of the things we can do as brothers and sisters, as parents, get the kids that are in our charge off the devices and using their own devices and navigating a hike and climbing a hill, exploring a forest. Brothers and sisters can do that with their younger brothers and sisters. And this is the change you can make right now.
So don't wait for the adults, quote unquote. Don't wait for the leaders, right? It's on us.
And that's right.
And one of the things that I was making a correlation, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were, and I hope we can expand on this, is that in that act of communing with what we are, which is what you say, we are human nature. So if we be in our natural element, connected to our natural element, that somehow the magic of that or the synergy or something about that will attune us to next steps, give us answers, help with depression, all kinds of things.
That's right. We were chatting earlier today. When I'm going to ask a favor, everybody listening, there's two things. One, whenever you hear the phrase human nature, that's just human nature, however it shows up, pause and turn it into a question. What is my human nature? What is it that makes me nature? And as you pursue that question, it will change your life. Then another little thing from an organizational point of view, Google the phrase biocultural leadership, biocultural renewal, and see if you don't come up with geoversity at our story or the earth train. We really, we own that phrase right now, and we are so eager to give it away. We want everybody to be uttering that phrase, geocentric awareness and action. Biocultural leadership, biocultural renewal. That's the agenda of hope and the path forward as far as we're concerned. The path happens to be muddy right now, but we'll get back to you on that.
One of the things that I want to leave our audience with when it pertains to what you shared also. And I'm sure there are so many more of these. So you said it's like, wake up our senses by putting our feet in the mud, going out to the countryside. And you called it also Pilates for the senses, Pilates yeah. for the eyes, for the eyeballs, I think you actually said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the biggest challenge we have working with young emerging leaders is their muscles of seeing have attenuated. You get this...
muscles of seeing.
That's right. You know, we've gotten weak in our powers of observation. Why? Because the bitstream we live with, just looking at our damn watch, is staggering. And so when you go out into the forest, we picked the tropical rainforest. Why? Because if you are not mindful, you, well, die. You, at the very least, you slip, right? And so it insists, the very environment demands mindfulness. And that's the environment we need to put ourselves in.
Wow. Nathan, this feels like just the beginning of the conversation. And I'm so inspired and grateful that you have joined us and shared with us at the moment in this special moment where I love it. We have nothing to lose.
Well,
and so much
love you
to gain.
Guys, and love your listening. Your deep listening is a gift to the planet. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Nathan. Nathan Gray of Geoversity and so much more. But Geoversity is GeoVersity.org. Go and learn all about him. You'll also find him on our website. Nathan, all the best to you until we connect again. Nathan Gray.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. My goodness. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Margaret from New Jersey, and I learned so much from you when I took your Energetic Alchemy course a few years back. You had shared a different version of the Lord's Prayer with us, and I really enjoyed it. I haven't been able to find it, so please send it to me if you can.
Dear Margaret, the version I shared with you was supposedly translated directly from the Aramaic into English rather than from the Aramaic into Greek to Latin to English. However, if you were to search online for the version, you will find several. The one I shared with you in the workshop is as follows. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that bind us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth, power, and fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole once again. And so it is. Margaret, I love this version and am so happy that you like it too. Please share with your family and friends and enjoy.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, singer, songwriter, keyboardist, Bob Malone, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and this is The Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and here's a fun fact. Our performance guest is called a keyboard wizard by the New Yorker. Bob Malone has amassed a loyal international fan base through 25 years of touring and 9 critically acclaimed album releases. He's played keyboards for John Fogerty since 2011 and has been a session player for Ringo Starr and Avril Lavigne. And his recording of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch was the theme in the 2018 Illumination Universal movie trailers for The Grinch. Welcome to the show, Bob Malone.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Bob, we hear you.
Okay.
We hear you loud and clear. And I have to say that you're an attention grabber. Like, I mean, I'm watching these videos on you and it's like you're giving like everything. And the first thing I thought was like, this guy was meant to do this.
I felt like I was meant to do this. Also, yeah, if you don't give everything, you shouldn't do it at all, really. I mean, you can do it, but don't expect anyone to look.
We'll talk about giving everything. You've been on a 6-week tour. What is that like in this moment in time? And you just got back is the thing. And so thank you for jumping on the show with us. So yeah, what's that like right now?
You know, it's a little weird. Like I've been out, it was partially with John Fogerty and partially a solo tour. Like I went to Europe for 3 weeks with my band. And, you know, things have changed. Things seem the same on the surface, but things have changed. A lot of places have closed that used to be open. People are scared still of turnout. And, you know, people are going to shows again. I started touring about a year ago, I guess, almost exactly a year ago, or September of last year. And it was super weird then, as you can imagine. It was a lot of people weren't coming out to shows yet. And, you know, and still, even on this tour that I just did, I get a lot of people who are like, this is the first thing I've gone to.
Wow.
I mean, I think people have, I don't think that they're scared to go out so much as the whole year and a half of not going anywhere got a lot of people into the habit of not doing anything.
What a great
it's still not, that hasn't been undone yet. You know, it's still happening.
But what a great thing to get out and go hear music. So thank you for doing, and live for that matter. So thank you for doing what you're doing, especially at this time and going forward. What, so when was it that you decided I'm supposed to be doing this?
When I was 10, I guess. About a year after I started taking piano lessons.
Like, what happened? Was it your idea to take piano lessons?
No, not really. My parents were like, they, you know, I was kind of a hyperactive kid, and they just wanted me to, you know, focus my energies in constructive ways. And we had this, you know, this home organ in the house and a piano, and my dad played a little. He wasn't, you know, he just would come home and play a little after work. He wasn't, you know, good at it. He'd be the first to tell you that, you know. And they were like, you should take some lessons. So I took some lessons. And the first year, not much was happening. I wasn't all that into it. But my mom was like, don't quit. Don't be a quitter. And I did like to play for people, which turned out to be, you know, my entire, you know, being. But she's like, I'll watch you play. I'll watch you practice for 15 minutes every day. Mm. And if she watched me practice, I would practice because I like to perform. So anyway, after about a year in, something clicked and all of a sudden I could really play. And it was after that, it was just game on. And like, there was nothing for me but music, and I was obsessed.
And it sounds like it was a double love affair there, the music, maybe piano, keyboards, and the audience. Like, what is it that you think you're imparting upon the audience that excites you?
No, you're communicating with the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, you're making them feel something. Somebody comes in there and they've had a miserable day, and they hear your song, your songs, and they feel better. And I can't tell you how many people tell me that. They're like, oh, I just felt terrible, and I came to see you play, and now I feel great.
Oh.
And my entire job is that, you know.
So you went on to write a song for everyone. It's called Wrote a Song for Everyone, right?
No, that's a John Fogerty song.
Oh, that's a John Fogerty song. Okay. I thought it sounds familiar. Sorry about that. But you go on to perform for everyone like you're going to perform for us right now.
Right.
So what are we going to get to hear first? Sorry about that. What are we going to hear first?
Well, let's see. I got a Halloween song that I drag out once a year, and this is the week.
Okay. So
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
It's on Hallow's Eve, and I can't believe it's come around so soon again. The whole year's been so terrifying, like the last time that we never came to an end. I see all the usual suspects in this Halloween costume ball, but under that fake blood and that black are the scariest creatures of all. So what if it's Halloween? Well, I was already scared. All we got to do is take a look in the mirror. Won't enough horror there, and it's a frightening scene. Just take a look around this place, because there ain't no monster in this joint as scary as the human race. Terrorists and televangelists, racists and recidivists. I try to understand my fellow man, but my mind keeps trying to resist. All them screen kings, silver screen creatures of the night, only looking for the next meal. How do you explain them human bloodsuckers looking for a soul to steal? So what if it's Halloween? Well, I was already scared. All we got to do is take a look in the mirror. More than a horror there, and it's a frightening scene. Just take a look around this place, because there ain't no monster
not stuck in this joint as scary as a human race. All right.
Bob Malone. Now, what is that called? Is that called Scary Human Race, or is it called Halloween?
So what if it's Halloween?
So what if it's Halloween? Okay. Well, that's funny, and yet isn't your album called Good People?
Yeah, this isn't from that album.
Okay.
This song's old. This one goes back a ways.
So you have an album that just came out called Good People, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good people. All right. Well, so before we talk about that, I have to say thank you to Annika Perez, who actually, I think it's been a year or so, who's like, you have to have Bob Malone. And I'm like, yeah, we want to, but you're in LA and we're in LA and we thought we would get to do this live in person. And you even were ready to do it live today in person. And
yeah, I wanted to do it live.
You're like, where do we go? Where are we meeting? And I'm like, oh no, it's online. So. Yeah. So thank you to Annika and thank you, Bob, for your willingness to come and, like I said, right after your tour. So BobMalone.com, Bob, and then MALONE.com. So shall we talk about Good People? Oh, actually, I have to say, I've never seen such flowery, like, amazing, listen to this. Bob Malone is a soulful songwriter, passionate singer, exuberant piano player, and ecstatic performer whose astounding, abounding talents are immediately evident. And that goes on to talk about, actually, the songs in Good People. And I just have to read one more that I thought was hysterical. Let's see. If he could find a way to throw that Steinway grand over his shoulder the way a hot dog guitar player does, I think he would. So you're all that on stage, Bob, right?
That's what the reviews say.
How is it when you're playing for yourself, like practicing or coming up with a song?
Oh, you know, it's a totally different It's a whole totally different process, and I can't come up with a song or practice if anyone's in the room listening to me, because I just go right into performance mode.
Yeah,
and creating and performance mode are kind of two different things.
Of course, we talked about how you sang on the trailer of The Grinch, but your music actually has been used on TV and. Hallmark Channel and da-da-da-da-da. So let's talk about Good People.
Yeah, Good People. A lot of personal songs, a lot of middle-aged angst. We recorded most of it before the 2 years leading up to the pandemic year, and I actually cut the last song on the day in March of 2020, the day they closed everything down. I was in the studio the day they closed everything down here. And I cut a take of this tune and we were like, sounds good. We have to leave now. And that was it.
Wow.
And I didn't put it out. You know, I put it out in 2021 last year because I didn't want to put it out during the whole thing. It was pointless to me. So now the touring I'm doing now is kind of catch up. And I was talking about how things were weird on my tour, but like I also have to say we had really great crowds. We had mostly sold out crowds in Europe, and we played New York City for the first time in like probably 5 or 6 years, and We had a really good, it's been a really good turnout. It took a while to get back up to it, but it was a great tour. I was kind of surprised to see so many people.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. So what are we going to get to hear now?
This is My Friends and I, and it's, well, it's a very sad song, and it kind of speaks for itself, but, you know, I was going through that kind of period in your life where you're, you know, I was getting used to my 50s, basically, in this song.
Oh, okay, My Friends and I, here's Bob Malone live online with us here on the Life Changes Show.
My friends and I were not doing that well. Mostly we keep it hid. We don't suffer and tell. And my friends and I, we've seen the road get rough. Some of us have made it through. Some of us weren't strong enough, and oh, so hard to say goodbye. It's so hard, but still we try now. So forgive me if I've been unkind. We're going through it, oh my friend. Friends and I, well, we're sisters and we're brothers. Never fit in anywhere until we found each other. And my friends and I, misfits and broken toys. Brave face on the outside, inside just frightened girls and boys. And oh, so hard to say goodbye. It's so hard, but still we try. So forgive me if I've been unkind. We're going through it, all my friends and I. Before I start, and I should know that the time to change is now. I should go quietly, but I just don't know how. My friends and I had a damn good run. Didn't know it at the time, only knew when it was done. And my friends and I, we've reached that time in our lives. Older lovers, pets, and relatives, where they're lining up to say goodbye. And oh, so it's so hard, but still we try now. So forgive me if I've been unkind. We're going through it, all my friends.
for that. Bob Malone, MALONE.com, BobMalone.com. Wow. Gosh, Bob, you've made us laugh, and I think you've made some of us cry. That's very special. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm glad that we finally worked it out.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get to do the live thing someday together. In the meantime,
all
the best to you, and lots of touring and great gigs, and all the best to your album, Good People. I like the name. And is that, by the way, my friends and I, is that on Good People?
That is. It's on Good People.
Okay. Go
along with the song Good People.
Find okay. Go find it.
You know, yeah.
Find it where music is sold, and then of course learn more about Bob and his music at bobmalone.com. What a pleasure. All the best to you, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. See you later.
And with a great big thank you again to Bob Malone, our performance guest, and to Nathan Gray, our interview guest. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.